Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So I remember about 10, 12 years ago, getting into it was quite an argument with a local mayor in Quebec where they had outlawed wood-burning stoves to save the planet. And I said, look, it gets really damn cold in this part of the world, because I was living there at the time. And I have a wood-burning stove, and I'm not getting rid of it. And I don't live in your community, so there's nothing you can do. But what about people in your community who don't have a wood-burning stove because of your decision that your town of 10,000 can save the entire planet by getting rid of the few wood-burning stoves that you have? And we got into it. He lost. Big time, because he didn't have an argument. He had a mission, but he didn't have an argument. So last evening, it got pretty serious, very serious in the province of Alberta, as the electrical grid was facing massive overload, and there were huge challenges. The premier sent out messages to everyone in the province, and Albertans responded. We're joined by the Minister of Affordability and Utilities for the province of Alberta, Minister Nathan Newdorf. Minister, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Roy.
So tell us, please, tell the country, what was the cause? Why did you get to that very serious point?
Well, I think it was a number of factors. So obviously, we're in winter, and the sun goes down early, so our solar was not able to generate after the sundown. We didn't have any wind, which is a significant part of our generation capacity at this point in time. And the weather system was so large that it impacted our fallbacks in BC and Saskatchewan, Montana, and they weren't able to provide a surplus to the level that we had earlier in the week. We are very thankful that Saskatchewan has stepped up and provided the max capacity that we could through that enterprise. But we were still very, very close to that maximum threshold, and that's where we had to ask Albertans for their help, just to make sure that we had health and safety top of mind for all Albertans, that we wouldn't have to get into any kind of blackout situation.
So you were looking at blackouts then?
We were that close. At some point, if your demand is greater than your generation, somebody's going to go without, and we didn't want to hit that situation.
Yeah, minus 35, minus 40, with the wind chill much worse. Imagine that, Minister. Solar panels don't work in the dark, and the windmills don't work when the wind doesn't blow. Imagine that.
Imagine. That's right.
Do you have the legislation like that guy I talked about, that mayor in that community in Quebec, who just decided nobody was allowed to have a wood-burning stove anymore?
I don't believe that we do. We have transitioned away from coal, and our last coal generation will be coming offline imminently. But we've only been able to partially replace that generation with natural gas. A lot of it has come back in renewables, which have great attributes in many circumstances. But like you said, one of them in wintertime, especially when there's no sunlight and no wind, we're short. So we are looking at how we can best alleviate those characteristics and make sure we have a dependable electricity generation no matter the weather.
Yeah. So what are some of the options you have? You work regularly with Saskatchewan, and I understand British Columbia as well, but both of those provinces are stressed with terribly cold weather, and they have to take care of their energy generation. So options are limited, but as you said, Saskatchewan stepped up, so thankfully to them. Are you getting any cooperation at all from Mr. Guilbeault and Monsieur Trudeau?
Not really, and we're able to stop the CER where it was first written, because nights like we would have had to put the phone down and call Mr. Guilbeault to see if we could get permission to turn on our peaker plants. That's not really a realistic situation or something that we'd like to plan on in the future. So that's why we are undergoing some really robust inquiries of how to make our system much more reliable, much more dependable, and likely much more affordable for Albertans.
Yeah. If you have to call the federal minister to be allowed to turn on the supplemental power, that's not government, that's a star chamber.
Exactly. And it's really, we're far more integrated than that. We're very thankful that we work closely with BC and Saskatchewan and even our neighbors to the south. But when you have a large weather system like this, everybody's stretched thin.
Yeah.
And those are challenging situations.
For sure. But Albertans stepped up, right? They got the call, the request, turn off what you can, because we have to reduce the drain, and Albertans stepped up very quickly.
They did. It was just tremendous. It made me very, very proud to be Albertan, very proud to be Canadian, where literally thousands and thousands of people stepped up within minutes. We saw that load go down significantly, which just took us away from that threshold. So proud of Albertans who helped out.
What did you just say? You were 10 minutes away from the threshold?
Not necessarily. We were minutes away.
Minutes away.
And they just responded very quickly. With that alert going out, in 1 minute, 100 megawatts came offline. And within about 5 or 6 minutes after that, another 100 megawatts came offline. And 100 megawatts is about approximately 120,000 homes. So Albertans stepped up in a really big way and very, very quickly. And we're very, very grateful for that,
yeah,
that action.
What's the situation today, Minister?
Well, it is similar. Our demand curve is a little different on a Sunday than even to a Saturday. And we're still very cold temperatures. We are asking everybody to do what they can. Hopefully we won't have to go to such lengths. But we are also trying to reach out to our business community and our industrial and commercial community to help us hit areas where we weren't necessarily able to reach last night on that one-of-a-kind scenario. So we've got a few more days yet of this extreme cold, and we're asking all Albertans to just pay attention and see what they can do to help conserve our demand.
Yeah. All the best to you, and we're all in this boat together, because it could happen to any province at any time, and we sure can't go back to wood-burning stoves, because the planet's going to blow up if we do.
Well, you're right, and we are trying to make that transition, but we have to work together, because all equipment is also subject to stresses when you get to these kind of cold temperatures.
Yeah. Minister, thank you so much for the time. Good talking to you. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much, Roy. Appreciate it.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.